Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it's my pleasure to welcome kind of into the studio. She's here via Zoom. And this is Diana McVeigh we're going to be talking with tonight. Welcome to the program, Diana.
Thanks so much. Good to be here.
Nice to have you with us. Diana has been on the program before, but it's been a while. And probably a couple years, I think, since...
Oh, yeah, anywhere. Three, four.
I mean, when you were a teenager was probably the last time you were here. Because,
well,
you know,
sure. I mean, now I'm 25, so it had to have been,
Diana is an opera singer, a teacher... And she has private students, public students, and also works a little bit for Rhode Island College and so forth. So a longtime person in the Rhode Island area. And she's also a baseball enthusiast. We'll have to find out about that a little bit later, how she's putting up with that. But Diana is in her lovely home in beautiful North Providence, right?
Rhode Island? Correct.
Okay. And I'm in the studio in Exeter, Rhode Island, and we're looking at each other, but you can't see us because...
We look good.
Yeah, you look great. I mean, you know, you look really good. So we're here talking about Diana's adventures during the pandemic, as well as before and possibly what will happen after. And off the top of the show here, we should say... happy summer. Yesterday was the first day of summer, and so here we are in the nice weather.
Oh my God, I've lost all track of everything. I have no idea.
And it's it's also Father's Day.
Very true. Happy Father's Day, all the fathers out there.
Well, thank you. I have my son being one of the victims of the pandemic. He is a full-time EMT fire department guy, and he was renting a house, lost his house, and now he's living with me, so I'm having a great Father's Day.
Of course, he can cook you dinner, he can do all the chores, it's good, that's good.
Yeah, I don't think he does that, but actually he works almost around the clock every other day, so it's, we don't see that much of each other. But it's one of those things where everybody's putting up with a little bit of something different during the crisis, and you've been teaching via Zoom, right, to some of your students?
Yeah, for those that could tackle it, that's what I've been doing, and it's worked out pretty well. It's not ideal, obviously, but it's not a bad option. It beats not teaching at all.
Right. Now, most people, when they hear your name, they think of the performer, I would believe, Diana McVeigh, the performer, who has performed all over the world. And so let's just take a little bit of background and say... how this all started. Did you go to school for singing? How did this start?
Well, I didn't initially think I was going to become a performer. I did go to college for music education as a singer, so I thought I was going to teach public school, and I was a double major in education and performance, because I just didn't really know. And then once my voice started getting a little bit more mature and the technique was starting to settle a little bit, I just really felt like public school teaching was not where my brain was, and I really wanted to go sing. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to be on the stage singing. And shortly after college, I started studying with the great soprano Maria Spacagna, who had come back to Rhode Island after decades of living in New York. And she just fixed me right up, got my voice going in exactly the right direction, and all sorts of doors started to open up after that. And that's when I really started my professional singing career outside of the New England area.
Mm-hmm. And so this was 2 years out of college, or
it was probably, I would say about 5 years out of college.
Okay.
And yeah, then, I had still been studying and performing, but all locally.
Right, right. So where was the first big gig, as they say in the trade?
Well, for opera singers, the first big gig you do, the first paid thing is a young artist program somewhere in the country with an opera company.
Mm-hmm.
So you're basically paid slave labor, but you're paid.
Yeah.
And so that was in Sarasota, Florida, with the Sarasota Opera.
Okay, all right. Sarasota, near Van Wezel, or were you not in that theater? Or wasn't that,
We were not in the Van Wezel. They have their own opera house, actually.
Oh, okay, all right.
But so, it's not far. It's just across the road.
Well, across the street a little, yeah.
A little bit, yeah, and a couple blocks in, but it's not far.
So now, since Florida, you've traveled to other parts of the world. Why don't you give us an example of some of the places you've been?
Well, the most distant place I've been so far is Dubai, in the United Arab Emirates.
And, that's pretty exotic and exciting, Dubai.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty weird. We did a production of Carmen. It was pretty interesting. It's an interesting place. It's a little bit Western and a lot of bit Eastern. It's a very bizarre combination. But we were treated beautifully, and the place is beautiful. I've also sung on the island of St. Thomas.
There you go.
Right. Yeah, I don't mind those gigs at all. And that was in, I think we went in December or January, so it was nice and cold here and nice and warm there. And oddly enough, I was being considered for a production of Norma in Hong Kong in December, but I have no hopes that that will actually happen because of circumstances.
Yeah, okay. So that's this upcoming December 2020.
Yeah, it was supposed to be this year.
Okay. So, places like Hong Kong and St. Thomas and so forth are interesting to perform at, but you do a lot of domestic travel too, I would presume.
Yeah, a ton.
A lot of out west. You have one unique place that I understand you go to, which I've actually performed there, but not a lot of people would think Rhode Islanders would perform in Idaho. Is that correct? Idaho, Montana?
Montana. I've performed in both, but mm-hmm. the one I have gone to the most is Montana, and I'll be returning there in September, we hope, for I think it's the 10th time.
Wow. So,
yeah.
And there's no particular reason other than they like you and they keep asking you to come back.
Yeah, which is great. I'm super grateful. In fact, I love Montana so much. The people there that I've run into are beautiful. The state is beautiful. And I actually named our new puppy Montana because of it.
Well, there you go. All right. And what kind of puppy?
Golden Retriever.
Golden Retriever. Oh, well, so it's not going to be a little puppy long, right?
It'll get lots big of energy.
All right. Well, let's get to a piece of music so people can have something to get in their head as far as what you do, and then we'll come back. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about your teaching and what goes on with that. But what's this first piece of music we're going to listen to?
This is Hear Ye Israel from Mendelssohn's Elijah. I will be doing this, well, we hope we cross our fingers with all of this stuff. I will be singing this with the master singers, the Salisbury singers, rather, in Worcester in the spring of 2021.
In Worcester, Massachusetts?
Correct, at Mechanics Hall.
Excellent. My favorite place. Anyone that's listened to this show knows that I frequently talk about Mechanics Hall as my favorite place to perform.
It's in my top five.
Yeah, I mean, I've been very fortunate to be pretty much everywhere in every major city, but I still love it when I get to Mechanics Hall, just something about it. Probably different for me than for you, because we don't have any orchestration. So, or piano. So it's a little bit different for us. But
yeah, but the sound quality there is great.
Yeah. All right. We'll listen to this, and we'll take a short break and come back with more of Diana McVeigh.
Oh,
Diana McVeigh is my special guest on Conducting Conversations this evening. I'm Mike Maino on this first day of summer, after yesterday, and Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to everyone out there. Diana McVeigh, opera star and teacher, and we talked a little bit about some of her travels and places she'd been in the first segment, but this time let's get to the teaching part of it that happens right here in Rhode Island. And you have students... Normally, let's start with the normal process. So let's say, what were you doing last fall? Let's go there.
So normally, I teach, I have my own private studio, and I also teach at the Jackie M. Walsh School for the Performing Arts in Pawtucket. It's a performing arts high school. So I would normally be there on Tuesdays and Thursdays teaching my seven kids private lessons. They get taken out of their classes to come down and have a 45-minute private lesson during the school day. And then I would be teaching my private studio in Providence. I teach in the choir room at the Orchard Place, St. Martin's Church on Orchard Place Ave in Providence. And I would be teaching Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and that was a nice thing to do. It was nice to do it out, not in the house.
Now, where did your students come from? Are they just interested, or they have to have accomplished something in order to get to your level, or where?
Well, I'm pretty particular about who I have in the studio. So usually what happens is most of the time they come recommended. Someone will say, hey, you know, this person needs some voice lessons and I think that they would be good for you. Or they contact me and say, so-and-so recommended I contact you.
All right, another music teacher or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Or a friend who, a friend of someone who's already a student.
Okay.
And so usually what happens is they will come in and we'll do a consultation lesson and I'll listen to them and I'll see where they are because sometimes I might not be the right fit for them. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to lock them into lessons with me if we might not be a good fit. So I listen to them and, you know, do what I can in that one consultation. And then if feels like a good fit for my studio, we continue having lessons.
Now, the right fit doesn't necessarily mean, for example, I sing bass and you don't. So that doesn't necessarily mean that we wouldn't be the right fit for each other. It's just that...
No, it has nothing to do with that. But if there are say a student comes in and says they want to learn mostly musical theater things. Okay. I'm not a musical theater expert, so I'm not going to be a good fit for that person. I teach the classical technique, which all singers should learn, but if a kid comes in and their heart is just set on doing musical theater, I have to send them to somebody who's an expert in that.
They want to be a Broadway belter, right?
Yep.
They want to be Ethel Merman.
Which would be great, I guess, but that's just not where I am. So okay. I usually send them to a colleague that I trust.
Okay, so mostly in the classical style, bel canto, or is that not something you deal with?
Bel canto? Yeah. That's the healthiest style. Yeah.
Right, okay. I just wanted to make sure we're on the same page.
All yes.
Right. Okay. So let's fast forward to middle of March, and all of a sudden the world turns around. And what happened at that point? How do you handle your students?
Well, for the most part, the students at the Jack M. Walsh School had to do lessons with me via Zoom. So we are doing online video lessons once a week. Well, we just finished because their school year is about to end, but we did once a week. Like we normally did at their normal times, we did their lessons via Zoom. And a few of my students from my private studio are also doing Zoom lessons.
Mm-hmm.
It comes with some challenges. It's not ideal, but it sure is a better option than nobody having lessons at all.
Right. And the good news is that as a soloist, they can the Zoom will work. And in my case, as a quartet with in different people in different places, for those people that might be curious, Zoom does not work.
Nope, it doesn't. There's a bit of a lag. See, there's a problem with the transfer of information across the internet. There's a little bit of a lag. So
right.
I can't even accompany my student when they're singing. They have to be singing to a recorded accompaniment in their house.
Right.
And then I make comments on it. So it's not ideal, but it's working.
Now, if things were to continue this way for a while, which they probably will for some period of time, and people were interested in becoming a student of yours, can they still do that?
Yeah, it would be trickier to start a new student via Zoom unless they have already had some experience with voice lessons and doing it this way, because there's so much body involvement in singing. I need to see the body. I need to see the person. I need to be able to tell what muscles are working and what muscles aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, it's not as easy to do that over video thing as you might think. Even though you're seeing the person, it's not as good as doing it in person.
And if people need information, do you have a website or a Facebook page? Or
They can write to me through my website. Even though my website is just my performing, there is a link there that they can reach me, and that's dianamcveigh.com.
Okay, great. So if you have interest in that and you're interested in what Diana's been saying, give it a shot. Check it out. You never know. We could have the next great star could be sitting out there listening.
Absolutely.
One of the things we have both learned, I'm sure, over our period of performing is you never know who's listening. Right?
Oh my God! No, I just assume it's somebody that I need to, behave and do really well.
Right, as my mother used to tell me, I started singing a quartet when I was 15 years old, and every time I would go away, because at that time my quartet was very, fortunately for me, popular and on the road a lot. As I would leave the house, she would always say, "Remember who you are."
Yeah.
That was her statement to me to try to keep me in line.
That's right.
It didn't always work, but but more often than not, I guess. So teaching, that's a story with that. Let's now go to another piece of music that you provided for us. What is this one?
Oh, this is one of my favorites. This is from Strauss's Four Last Songs. This is the second movement, called September. So I'm singing this with the Music on the Hill Festival. We were supposed to have a festival in June, right now.
Happening right now, actually, over this past week, yeah.
Yeah, it would have been. So everybody is sort of scrambling and trying to create new opportunities when we think things will open up. So this one particular concert has been pushed to September of this year, we hope. And I was asked to sing this particular piece for the program, and it's just spectacular. It's beautiful.
All right. We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
Conducting Conversations is the name of the program. I'm Mike Mano, and very pleased to have as my guest this evening Diana McVeigh, opera singer and teacher. And we've been talking about, the first segment was about some of her performance spots that she's been around the world and how she got started in singing. And then we went into a little bit of her teaching and what she's doing now. And a website is available, dianamcveigh.com. Pretty easy to remember.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Who came up with that? That's ingenious.
I think my parents.
Oh, okay. It's just ingenious. And so actually, we should, that's worth mentioning. Diana McVeigh is your real name, right? It's not a stage name.
No, that's my given name, yep.
There you go. And been performing under that now for all of her 25 years that she's been alive. So I think that's what we said at the top of the show.
I think you're right. Yeah, exactly.
Something like that. We alluded to a couple times some of the things that have happened because of the pandemic and how things have changed and how it's changed teaching and so forth. Do you think that down the road, September or whatever, when schools open, will that apply to you or probably not?
Probably not, mm-hmm. because we can't wear masks and sing. And, you know, no matter what you do when you speak, when you're speaking and you're sending your germs out in the air, we as singers send those germs at ballistic missile speed. So what we are sending out goes faster and farther. And it will be impossible for us to do what we do in an enclosed small space like a studio.
Right, right.
So for teaching purposes, we'll be doing it from home for a while longer.
You know, I used to joke when I was performing because of the lighting normally on a stage, and if you haven't had the privilege of being on stage performing, which I consider it a privilege, and trying to entertain an audience, sometimes the lighting, you can actually see the particles of your mouth while you're singing shooting out towards the audience.
And you mean the spit?
Yes, I was trying not to say spit, but that's exactly what it was. And I used to joke about that with the audience. I used to tell them, my quartet was very lubricous was the name we came up with.
Nice, and, I like it.
Well, so that was, you know, that happened, and everybody laughed at it back then.
Well, yeah, I can't tell you, again, not to get too graphic and gross, but I can't tell you how much spit and sweat I've worn from colleagues. You know, yep. And it's part of the game. There's no way to avoid it. And we cannot wear masks. We can't wear face shields. We can't do that.
Right. Yeah.
So the only...
Go ahead.
We will be the singers of the world, the wind instrument people of the world. We will be the last ones to be able to get back to doing what we do for a living.
Yeah. It's one of the reasons, for example, when the theaters closed down, Theater by the Sea canceled their whole summer. Without even thinking about it, because they knew that the singers on the stage could not, you know, the audience could not be protected from them. And
nope.
Same thing as PPAC has announced, they're not going to open until January of mm-hmm. next year, because the performers, there's no way I suppose you could put a piece of plexiglass up between the audience and the singer, but that kind of defeats the purpose, I guess.
Well, then the singers are going to be infecting each other still, so
yeah.
It's just not safe. It's not wise. I think, you know, we just have to go with the flow.
Now, good news for some singers. For example, if you were able to perform in an outdoor venue and the audience was 20 feet away from you or whatever, you could probably do that as an individual. Some of the groups, you know, choral singing, for example, something like the Rhode Island Civic Chorale, they're going to be a long time waiting because there's one stacked right on top of the other. And
yep.
There's just no good way to do that. So, you know, the general public, I don't think quite realizes what, you know, what goes on and why we talk about why Broadway would be closed down and PPAC and Theater by the Sea and all of those things. And that's the reason. It just isn't safe and won't be for quite a while.
Not for a while. I mean, I would love for this all to, you know, magically disappear, but it won't disappear if we don't behave a little bit. So we just have to do the right thing. And I don't want to infect the audience either.
Right.
So but, we wait it out.
Yeah, your husband and Montana, your dog, that's okay.
Oh, my God, it was serendipitous getting that puppy. We got her in January, yeah. And so now we've been home 24/7. She's going to have a little separation anxiety when we go back out into public. But
when you go back to normal life, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Diana, I want to thank you so much for coming on this evening and being a guest on Conducting Conversations. It's been a while. Hopefully it won't be so long till the next visit. And maybe the next visit we'll have some good news about where you are actually performing. But right now there's a unlikely but a fingers crossed performance for Music on the Hill in September.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that happens or not, we can certainly hope that Music on the Hill is able to regain some of the ground that it's lost, along with all the other organizations that have just been put on hold here, and hopefully it'll get back sooner. Thanks for being here. It was a pleasure to see you. I know the audience can't see you, but I have the pleasure of seeing you on Zoom. So that's great.
and I'm all decked out in my gown and my sparkles and everything for you.
Right. She has a crown on and everything.
A tiara. Yeah, my tiara. I wear it everywhere I go.
Yeah. All right. We're going to leave the audience with one more piece of music. And tell us why you selected this and what it is.
Well, it also happens to be another concert that I am slated to do in September, so we'll see, in Helena, Montana, no less. It's Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, which I think is, given other circumstances in the world right now, a particularly poignant piece to do at this moment. Again, I don't know if we're going to get to do it, but I'm hopeful.
All right. Well, the best to you and to your husband, Ed, and I should mention his name since he's quite famous. But
he's the more famous of the two. And also, I should before we hang up here, I should say that he and I are doing Knoxville Summer of 1915 together again in September. Should we be so lucky?
And the husband we're speaking about is Ed Marquardt. You all know that name in the audience. I don't know if he's the more famous of the two of you, but
I just wanted him to hear that. So
Okay. All right. Yeah, we'll let him think that he is. Okay. Once again, thanks, Diana. And to the rest of you, we'll see you next time on Conducting Conversations.
Bye.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.